Welcome to Minority Corner with an Eke
and James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay,
and ladylike.
This goes.
This week on Minority Corner.
What are you doing?
I'm revisiting because okay, people are not getting it.
Okay. Yelling at me.
Not at you, because you get it.
I think I get it.
I'm yelling at the public because y'all still don't know what cultural appropriation is.
Y'all, we talked about this.
I'm bringing it up.
In the Minority Corner early years.
Yes, and it is time to revisit because shit is cray right now.
You mean I can't wear my kimono dress to the Folsom Street Fair?
Yeah, probably not.
What if I'm into it?
We'll revisit.
About it.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
I just complicated everything.
No, you didn't.
Okay. She's got me. Well,
what are you talking about?
I'm checking in with our friends at Fox, and I want to see how they felt about the debate. The debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
That sounds like that's going to be joyous and lovely and full of laughter and fun and positivity.
We just really need to broaden our horizons. Check all the sources. So, Fox, what do you have to say? Let's hear.
I'm scared.
You should be. But then I've got something sexy planned for you.
What is that?
You'll find out.
What?
You'll find out. Ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga.
Oh, changed it. Went for a turn. Where are we going?
I'm a naked dancing baby.
Oh.
If you're into it. Sorry, I just got back from Folsom Street. <there. laughs> You ready for this?
Sexually charged episode. Mine's not.
Oh. Okay.
Mine is very much like the mole in the middle of a sexually charged. I'm like the lady who just doesn't want to be touched in the middle of an orgy. That's
maybe
my corner.
That's her, yeah, maybe that's her choice.
It's
maybe
true.
She's into it and she's secretly like mentally getting the fuck off.
I'm not yucking her yum.
So if any of you were around in San Francisco this past weekend, we had our Folsom Street Fair.
Leather, leather, leather.
Spanking, spanking, spanking.
How, I got a question.
What up, girl?
I feel like the uniform for the Folsom Street Fair is like this body belt.
A body
it's like,
belt.
It's like a body belt.
I see what you're saying. It's a harness. It's called a harness.
But it's like
it's like the like
yeah. It's like the, over your nips.
It's called a harness.
It's cute.
Yep, I have one.
And
wearing it 2 years in a row.
Is it comfortable?
Yes. If you get it, that's why you gotta get it fitted right.
You actually gotta get that shit fitted?
Oh, yeah, you can't just, like, put on one. You go to where I went last year, my friends and I. Mm. I went to Mr. S and Leather.
Mr.?
And it's called Mr. S and Leather. Okay. And it's where you get all your, like, leather apparel and whatnot.
Okay.
Huge. If you go there the day before Folsom Street Fair, it's going to be shit packed.
I'm sure. Everybody got to get their
while you're
body belt.
Yeah, it's a harness. Okay. Use the correct terminology, okay?
Yes. I'm just being a grandma.
I can even go model it for you if you want.
Sure.
Okay. You get it tried on, and while you're waiting sometimes, there's like, oh, look, there's, and while you're waiting, there's like, you know,
to get
a beer keg. While
oh, shit.
And there's like, you know, dudes getting their dick sucked over in the corner.
All right, Folsom Street.
A lot of stuff happening.
Being free.
Yeah, you know, and funny you say that. I would say, you know, Folsom Street Fair mainly happens on Sunday, but there's like a lot of different events and things leading up to it.
A weekend affair.
And it's one of San Francisco's largest festivals. And I found that it was like, the things that I walked away at the Folsom Street Fair was this idea of just like freedom and liberation and love and discovery.
And kink.
And friendship. Okay.
Well, isn't kink a big part of it?
Sure. Yeah. You get whatever it is that you want. I tack that along to freedom and liberation.
To
whatever it is for
yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it was a thing that just reminded me to be human and whatever that is. I think we get so caught up in these like guilt-ridden, moralistic, like shameful type things, and I say, you know, just love and live and break yourself. It's funny because the harness could be looked at as something to be controlled. If you aren't sure what a harness is, Google it.
Okay.
But in for some, they have like, you know, the chains or whatnot. But these folks are choosing to put these chains on or choosing
right.
to
it's
be
their
dominated.
Choice
and so they're owning that and I think look at the chains that you actually have in your life and are not aware that you actually have them and take ownership of them, hold your own chain, break free,
like Nick Jonas said.
chains.
Got him in chains. I like that. That's good.
So that was Folsom Street Fair. I know you wanted to hear like the nasty, dirty things.
No,
I'm not gonna tell you.
That's for the listeners because I already know about nasty, dirty things that happen in Folsom Street.
Well, not for me.
No,
I was just, you know, in the corner minding my own business,
hanging out.
Changing the subject.
You were crocheting.
I was just that was my kink.
I'm just gonna sit here and crochet.
Guy that crochets in the corner, but a lot of fun. I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
James is tired. James got a poppin' ass haircut for the Folsom Street Festival. He's got a poppin' ass Miguel ass beard going on. If you want to know what James looks like, just Google Miguel. The singer. I'm having a hard time saying his name.
Oh, yeah.
Miguel. That's what James looks like, except tired.
Yeah. Oh. Tired.
That's not a great representation. You don't look beat. You just look
James,
like you need
like
a nap.
James, you're the tired version of Miguel. Thank you. Wow. Roles reversed this week.
You are not the tired Miguel.
Miguel.
You are just, you look like Miguel, but you're kind of tired.
That's adorable. Is it mean?
I'm trying to, okay, your eyes. Tired. Okay, how about this?
I'm exhausted.
Your eyes look fresh.
Flummoxed.
But I can tell you need a nap.
Okay, thank you.
Is that good?
Yes.
That's just me caring
it's
for
true.
You.
It is true.
I got nothing on my plate.
Can we talk about SNL?
Yes.
So, there's a new, I have a positive thing that I'm excited about.
And I got a negative ass thing.
Okay. So, SNL, Saturday Night Live, just hired their first gay Latino writer.
Yay!
Yeah. His name is Julio Torres.
Okay.
And, but it's interesting because most of his comedy, I definitely looked into it, but I hear, the article I read, most of his comedy isn't necessarily about being gay and or Latino.
Mm.
He writes about, like, you know, being a space unicorn and things like that.
What is a space unicorn?
I'm not sure, but he doesn't like to necessarily write about like his own. For him, it's a little bit too specific and too on the nose.
I got it.
So, but it would be interesting to see some other more queer-friendly sketches and
yes.
opportunity possibly if he does move up the writer, sometimes move up to cast members.
Yes.
So who knows? Because right now, Kate McKinnon's the only LGBT person holding it down.
She is, and she fucking just won that Emmy.
She did. And you know who did not win the Emmy?
Blackish. We were right.
Damn, remember we were hella optimistic.
We were trying to be
so
wrong.
I do have to say, I watched, and for those of you who are like, well, I'm going to give Blackish a try. Start
Ooh,
at season two. Don't watch that season premiere.
Oh,
that season premiere was
I'm
hard.
I'm so glad that you brought that out because that was a straight up Disney commercial.
It was a
and
full
yes,
Disney commercial.
I get it. Disney is our overlords. We bow to Disney.
Because
but...
they're on ABC. It was. I wasn't sure if it was just because I was like hurt in bed because I had just been like
recovering.
Out. You know, I went to a 4 a.m. party and got home at 10 a.m. and took a 2-hour nap and then went to the Folsom Street Fair at noon. I wasn't sure if that's why it wasn't making sense or registering.
It was a terrible ass episode.
So don't be fooled. Just
don't watch that
don't
one.
Don't watch that one.
Just skip it because you literally, there's no plot development. There's no nothing that you need to know except that Disneyland is a great place to be. And also, I have to say, because I'm a stickler to continuity and I hate it when this happens, they go to Disney World, right? It's a whole commercial for Disney World.
Yeah.
They go to the Magic Kingdom and then they go to Epcot in two, like, quick seconds. No, I'm sorry. Those are two separate parks and there's a fucking freeway between them that you need to get on a car and drive through. With fucking purple ass signs.
But they were VIP.
Yeah, but they still need to get on it. What, do they got a bubble that takes them there in 2 seconds?
When you're VIP, you get a magical bubble. I had VIP all through Folsom, and I was in all kinds of bubbles.
You were on some good ass drugs. You were on some good ass drugs. Some nasty, dank ass drugs.
What about bad thing about SNL?
I had to look it
she's
up.
She's not pleased.
Okay, so first I was excited because SNL, not only did they hire their first gay Latino writer, they hired their first Latina cast member.
Oh.
And her name is Melissa Villaseñor.
Yay.
She deleted hella racist tweets.
Okay, from like how long ago?
Like last year.
Oh, not like, you know, when she was like 19?
No, like that's what she thinks is funny.
Okay.
Some of the shit that she tweeted was straight up bullshit. And I have to throw shade because she would type like things like, a bossy black lady at my temp job right now looks exactly like Steve Urkel. Ugly.
Oh.
That's not even funny.
No.
Jolly black people are the best. Just laughed with one right now.
Hmm.
They are the best, but y'all can't say that.
Yeah. Maybe she feels like she's like, I got black friends. She's co-worker. Like, I'm a minority.
Co-worker at Forever 21 dates black guys, and she said that she'll set me up on a blind date for Valentine's. I said, yes, but I'm scared.
Maybe she's, like, scared because she's a racist.
My roommate's dog resembles an old Japanese man.
Maybe she's learned. I don't know. This is awful.
Y'all, one, racist tweets aren't funny.
No, they're not.
They're lazy as fuck. You're a lazy comedian if you're doing that. Obviously, you got hired onto SNL, so you got some better arsenal. Don't be lazy.
Don't be lazy.
Two, why are you doing that? I was so excited for you. I was rooting for you.
You're going to Tyra Banks, sir. We were all rooting for you.
Man, why you got a bag on jolly black people? They did nothing to you.
Jolly black people are the best.
Mm-hmm. I would be kind of pissed if somebody called me jolly.
You're not a jolly girl.
That's weird. Like, what is jolly like?
Like Santa. It's just like a way to say like, oh, that person's really big and they laugh a lot.
Mm-mm. So I am going to side-eye you, Melissa, on SNL. I hope your first season is good. I hope all the black people on there, Leslie Jones, Michael Che.
Oh, Leslie Jones will put her in check. Leslie Jones not going to play.
She best not play. Love her. She's had to deal with some racism on Twitter.
A lot.
Hell love. So I hope that she's given her some side-eye, and I hope that Melissa says she's sorry right away.
I mean, different people. Trevor Noah had the similar. He had said.
He said some fucked up shit, and I side-eyed his ass.
LGBT stuff, like mm-mm. Some homophobic, like, tweets that
yes.
He had to go out and delete. But his were from a few years further back, but they still existed.
I still don't really like him.
Yeah, I'll talk about this a little bit in my segment, but I only get my news from three different sources. The Daily Show.
Yes.
Still with The Daily Show. I still think it's a good team of writers, and okay. It's a good source of information.
This is true.
And then The John Oliver Show.
I love John Oliver Show.
And Samantha Bee's show.
I have not watched it.
Oh, it's so good.
And we need to support our...
Ashley Black is one of our writers. She's one of the six writers. She's one of, like, the few female black writers.
And she went to college with us. She's amazing. She was more friends with you.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the Samantha Bee Show...
Support Ashley Black.
Really great. You support her.
I do. I will. I am.
It only comes on once a week. It's really good.
I know. It's good.
And I guess that's my other thing, too. I finished The Get Down. I started watching...
Did it hold up?
It is. It's super amazing. And I watched Master of None. And I have to say to everybody,
tell
I'm looking
us.
At you as well,
Me
we
too.
Can't say that we want black shows and if we're not supporting them and watching them. You know?
I do. I am. Can't keep up with all of them. I am watching my How to Get Away with Murder.
Fair enough.
I am watching my Scandals.
You are. Okay.
I am watching.
Your Black-ish.
My Black-ish. I'm even watching Fresh Off the Boat. I actually kind of paused on Homeland.
Yay!
Hey!
I'm sorry. I almost caved in and started watching it.
You don't got to.
I just, Claire Danes. She's on an episode of Master of None. Oh, by the way, Master of None, I can't believe it escaped my radar.
Master of None is so good.
It's so good.
So good. Won an Emmy, too.
I'm only halfway through. I had paused on it because I heard he only dated white women in the TV show. And he makes a comment about how some other girl only dates white guys, and then he's kind of doing something very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And
him like and his, Mindy on her show only dates white guys?
Yes. And so similar, like they said, they tackle so many issues in Master of None.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his writing partner, I think it's Justin Yang.
Alan Yang.
Yeah, they said that they plan on addressing it in the next season or
whatnot. I love it.
Approaching it. But they're just like, we never see, it was such an impressive show that like, him and his group of friends, they're all
diverse,
and none of them are just sidekicks. They all are very full-fledged characters with their own life. I like that they don't always all have to hang out together.
Because that's how it is.
Sometimes he's like, oh, I'm going to hang out with my black lesbian friend Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Which she's like, I just love that that's part of
She's the best, too. She's so dry on that show.
And I love that, like, they, I don't know, I've always wondered, I'm like, how come, you know, more lesbians don't hang out with, like, straight guys.
Mm.
And this seems like the perfect group of straight guys to hang out with.
And I do have to address that on the show, he does basically only date one woman through the maybe one or two women.
He's had sex with a few ladies.
I watched it a long time ago.
Oh.
Ooh, you know what else I'm watching
Claire
that I'm supporting right now?
What?
Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Okay.
Donald Glover.
Oh.
Not Danny Glover's son.
Are you sure?
I got the receipts.
Okay.
He's my cousin.
And he's not.
No, he's not.
Also, another movie coming out. Just saw the trailer for Fences with Denzel Washington and Viola Davis.
Cried at my desk.
Get the Oscars ready.
They best give one of them a goddamn Oscar.
Both of them.
They both
won. It's an August Wilson play. And it's the first August Wilson play to reach the mainstream cinema, which I think his plays are ripe for the picking.
They're the best. Yeah. And both Denzel Washington and Viola Davis won Tony Awards for their portrayal of the same characters on Broadway.
Oh, they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
They are elbows greased up and ready.
You know,
the chemistry is going to be insane.
It's gonna be so good.
I'm excited.
Do you know
it's coming out like Christmas
who
Day.
Originated the Denzel Washington role?
Salma Hayek.
That would be a twist.
Okay.
James Earl Jones.
Oh, close.
Yeah.
Really close. Very tip of the iceberg.
And Denzel Washington is directing it.
Oh, that's what I heard. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited. There's some good stuff down the pipeline.
Yes.
Support them.
Support.
And, good luck, Morris Chestnut.
Actually, you know what? I have to give him applause because he's been married to the same woman for 21 years.
He gets... Oh, good for him.
I don't know. It's nice.
It's nice.
It's sweet and nice.
That's an award-winning thing. If you don't know, last week we saw...
The movie was terrible.
And his TV show's not doing well either. So
what, Rose?
Rosewood. Looks like we cursed that too.
Well, I mean, he cursed himself because the show looks stupid.
Well, on that note, shall we go to... Not that your corner's stupid, but let's just change the subject.
Okay.
Let's go to your corner.
There we go.
Yay, I can't wait to get all up in it. Like a sexy graham cracker. I'm into it. Whip it up.
Tasty.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, so the air is getting crisp. The apples are coming out in season.
Yes.
The leaves are turning color.
Wait, hold on. Apples come out in the fall?
Yeah, they're fall fruit.
What?
That's why we got apple pies and apple cider.
Holy shit.
Bob for apples.
Listen, we continuously every episode turn learn, laugh, and play until I'm always learn, laughing, and playing. I was like, what? Fruits don't be growing up in the falls.
Apples do.
That's why people go and look at the foliage.
And pick some apples.
Damn, that makes a lot of sense.
That's why nobody's bobbing for bananas right now.
Well, they're missing out. That's why when you're describing this, I was like, oh, summer's like over. Because Folsom Street Fair marks the end of the summer ending.
But it's also the beginning of fall.
Where things start dying.
Mm-hmm. And where people start appropriating cultures.
Oh, is that? Uh-oh. Oh, I know it's coming. Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're doing this again.
But I'm not even going to focus on that. That's just a side note. Because
you just know it's coming.
Because you know it's coming. And for some reason, because Halloween's coming, people start to fucking appropriate cultures and act like they don't know why they are appropriating cultures.
Like apple picking?
That's not, no.
Oh, why do you pick the apples?
You can pick some apples.
Okay.
We love some apples.
Wait, everybody can pick apples?
Everybody loves an apple.
Okay. You're all in.
It's all right.
I'm going to dress up as an apple picker.
I need to see. Is that like some hot pants with like a basket?
It's like a really skimpily like
a plaid shirt,
overalls, like skimpy overalls,
just covering the nips,
just a little, nothing's underneath.
Yeah, it's good.
No underwears.
Some apple
like
butter to grease
short.
You up.
My balls are maybe almost falling out, just a little bit.
That seems uncomfortable.
And I've got a really tiny basket only for one apple.
It's like a basket cupping your ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I'm wearing, and I'll have a hat.
Okay,
and a little handkerchief.
Oh, that's cute. Mm-hmm. Why did you wink at me for that?
Just so you knew where I was going with this.
It's the period at the end of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to bring this up because a couple of things have happened that I wanted to talk about. And there's a great article that I read called How to Explain Cultural Appropriation to Anyone Who Just Doesn't Get It. And it's by Kovi Biakolo.
Perfect.
And
perfect timing, because if we're still having to explain this,
we're still having to explain
this. So we got to really break it down.
Right? So basically, I want to read this quote to you because I thought that they really hit the head on the nail. Because here we go. I've seen things on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people who should not be explaining why something is not cultural appropriation when it is cultural appropriation.
Right.
Read, white people explaining why something that's not their culture is okay to wear for other white people.
They're like, I want to wear this geisha dress. Mm-mm. I want to wear these cornrows. Mm. I love cornrows. Mm. There you go. Might not look good on it.
Right? Okay. So here's the quote. It's a little long, but it's good. Bear with me. And if somebody's like, oh, but I really am appreciating cornrows, just cue my voice at this point.
Sometimes it's just important to listen. So let's learn, laugh, and listen.
Ooh, I love that. Okay. Cultural appropriation involves the use of one culture's elements by a group or individual who does not belong to that culture. However, this definition is lacking because such an interaction may be labeled simply as cultural exchange. And that argument would be difficult to defeat because, first, who owns culture? And second, borrowing from one culture and lending to another has been the way of the world since human society began, according to recorded history and anthropologists. So what makes cultural exchange different from cultural appropriation? As with most points of cultural contention, the difference is power. In particular, the power of the privilege to borrow and normalize a cultural element of another group, while the appropriated group is often demonized and excluded because of that very cultural element.
Interesting. So it all comes back to power. It reminds me similar to why black folks necessarily cannot be racist, we can be bigots, because racism specifically deals with power.
Exactly.
And we don't have power. Even though we have a black man in the office, we still don't have that power. Mm-hmm. Even though Beyonce and Oprah Winfrey exist, we still don't got that power. But we have bias, we can be, there's bigotry, but yeah. Racism specifically deals with power. So what you're saying is that appropriation specifically deals with power, which means I can wear that geisha dress.
No.
Okay.
So first, I want to give an example.
Okay.
So the first example that I want to give to really nail it down is dreadlocks.
Okay.
Okay, so normally dreadlocks, and I just want to point out, black hair naturally curls in knots, so dreadlocks is a natural hairstyle for African Americans or anybody who is African descent with curly, kinky hair.
Right. And doesn't it, like, I feel like I have a few cousins who have dreads, and there's something, there's also, like, I don't want to speak out of turn, but there's, like, a spirit, there's, like, there's
religion.
Another cultural religion, spiritual connection
yes.
about this, right?
It's a part of, there's, the Rastafarian movement is one of them, where yeah. it's all about the dreadlocks. So basically, I want to point out that a lot of people, even though it's natural for our hair to do this, it is what our hair does when left to its own devices. People still have labeled it as dirty. People have spread rumors about Bob Marley having several types of lice in his hair, which is another dirty thing.
Right.
I've heard this on many accounts, that people think that when you have dreadlocks, you cannot wash your hair. That is not true. And these are all terrible assumptions about a natural hairstyle that black people just naturally can have.
And that, like, folks, like, just don't even, you're just, you don't even know. Have you done the research to know?
You haven't done the research. So here's the thing. Miley Cyrus has been wearing them. Free People, which is this, like, she urban, it's like the highest level of urban outfitters.
Oh.
Free People has been selling clip-on dreadlocks for over $100.
No.
And lastly, Marc Jacobs just used dreadlocks on all of his models for his runway show.
Why?
Because he thought it was cool. So here's the difference. So these people, Miley Cyrus, those who buy things from Free People, Marc Jacobs putting dreadlocks on his models of all ethnicities, and I'm just going to put it on blast, white people wearing it as fashion. Anybody who is wearing it as fashion.
Right.
That's cultural appropriation because here's the kicker to really nail it down. If you still aren't following me by saying that people have been saying it's a dirty hairstyle.
Right.
The federal court on September 15th just ruled that you can legally discriminate against an employee with dreadlocks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have this assumption that it's
dirty and unkempt hair.
I did not know that got passed or that like was, that's terrible.
Right? So this is the definition of what I just said.
Right.
People who can wear something as fashion or whatever, people in power, so I'm just going to put it on blast. If you have straight hair, you are a part of the Eurocentric norm, which means you have power. So if you are then dreadlocking your hair as a fashion statement, you are culturally appropriating. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying fashion statement because let's say you are Rastafarian. Let's say you do subscribe to that religion and you've done your research and you're a part of it and you're about that life. I personally will give you, I feel like, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but I feel like since you have done your research, you're living that lifestyle, you're about it, you're not culturally appropriating as much as someone who's just putting a clip-on dreadlock into your hair.
Right. So if I had studied the geisha ways.
Okay.
And like was like, this is like really speaks to me.
Okay.
And like really like, I'm talking like I'm really into this. Like this just really speaks to me. I'm like all about it. I've done the research. I've done the books. I've like, you know, studied the techniques or.
Yeah, sure.
And then I decided that I wanted to wear geisha clothing and not just at like a Halloween party, but just like, this is me.
Well, I'm just going to say, since I'm not Japanese, I can't be the ultimate decision, which is the next point I want to make. Thank you, James.
Oh, wow. See, set that up.
If you are not a part of a culture and someone is culturally appropriating, the most you can do is say, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. But you are not the authority, which I find a lot of times, especially on just casual things like Facebook or whatever, people will be like, can I wear this? And if you're coming in saying, girl, whatever, you can wear that, but you're not a part of that culture, who are you to talk? That's you using your power to dictate somebody else's culture, who they can do and what they can't do.
Right.
Me, personally, I can only really talk about my own personal preference with black people because that's what I know.
Yeah. You'd be like, you could reference your experience of like, wow, James, I feel this way about when, you know, people wear like Rastafarian, like what you just said.
Yeah.
You would just use that.
Yeah.
And help me make my own decisions.
Exactly.
And be like, you know what? You should check in with my friend so-and-so.
Right. So now I want to bring up the other point of my story.
Okay.
It is not just about clothing, because that seems to be what a lot of people seem to focus on, is the whole costume, clothing, hairstyle, whatever thing. It is about sometimes the culture. And Bon Appetit magazine has recently come under fire because they released a little video. And Bon Appetit is like one of these she fancy big time.
Yeah, it's like super fancy magazine.
Where it's called Pho, the new ramen.
Wait, but it's not new.
First of all, Pho is Vietnamese. Ramen is Japanese. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. But it's all like, it's as if they like just discovered this and they're like, look at this new thing that we found that has been around forever.
Exactly. And tell me why they got a white chef on there talking about how he knows, he is the premier person who knows about pho and the right way to eat pho. And this is how you eat pho and why it's taking over ramen because it's so much better than ramen and it's more hip and whatever. No, dude, you're wrong. You're culturally appropriating somebody else's culture.
I wonder if they have found like a Vietnamese chef. And if they're looking for like a hip one, I guarantee that in one of these cities of like San Francisco or New York or wherever.
Or Vietnam.
Like they're looking for like the hip and trendy restaurant over here. I understand that. But I guarantee that there is some like young up and coming chef who has a restaurant. It's pretty awesome. They could have interviewed them. What a missed opportunity.
100% agree.
It's almost like the whitewashing of food.
Mm.
And you know, Master of None, which I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, but Aziz, what's his last name? He's in his walking around here in San Francisco. Mm. But like they did an episode about like cultural appropriation and how, and it's funny because like, you know, we've talked about this before, but how invisible black folks are on television throughout, you know, time or whatnot. But then if you really open up to other races, it's like, damn, if we're not really been there, others haven't. And like all these different in the portrayals of like Indians, Indian Americans or just Indian culture on TV throughout time or in movies. Sometimes it's even played by like white folks.
Yes. Brown face.
Yeah. Or just like it's such like a joke. And that's why the show is so interesting to you know, see him, like, having sex and, like, you know, they ask him to, as an actor I can relate, they ask him to, like, put on an accent.
Right.
And he's like, what do you mean? And it just, so it's interesting to also see it on another culture and another lens and that this shit is happening to everyone.
Exactly.
But we're not hearing everyone's stories.
We're not. This is, and it's so good you bring that up. Because if we're relying on other cultures to explain they're not their own culture, we are not getting to the right source. We're not employing the right people. We're not providing the right voices. We're keeping it very one note. Mm-hmm. And great, you're a chef who enjoys another type of cooking that isn't from your own culture. I'm broadening this out.
Yeah.
Don't become the authority.
Right.
Give
space for the originators of it. And it's actually an opportunity to do like a collaboration, I guess. Like
exactly.
You can invite that specialist there because you're taking away from folks who already don't have opportunity. And here it is. This is a perfect opportunity because this directly relates to them and their culture. And yet you're also taking that spotlight and putting ownership of it. Like, this is that cool new thing that I found, but it's not yours. And it's not like you discovered it. It has already existed.
There's a term for it called Columbusing.
Yeah.
Don't be a Columbus.
Don't Columbus that.
Somebody already knew it. Somebody already used it. Somebody already was... It's their culture.
Yeah.
Appreciate it for their own culture. Say, okay, I really like Thai food. I'm going to try and cook Thai food. But when it's my... When I become a shishi fancy chef... I'm going to do Thai food, but I'm also going to invite some Thai chefs to come on and cook it with me and show me how it's done traditionally.
It's almost like if you want to have ownership of this, I don't believe in the melting pot, but the salad bowl, America being the salad bowl, it's like, well, you've got to really let the tomato be its, you know, ripe tomato and give it its space, you know, but where are the receipts, the proof of letting those fruits and vegetables really speak for themselves.
I completely agree.
You're not having like the lettuce being like, wrapping itself all around that tomato and being like, no.
I'm a tomato.
I'm not tasting that flavor. That's me. That's not that tomato. That's lettuce.
Mm-hmm. So just for some pointers.
Some tips.
If you are wearing someone else's culture as fashion or trend.
Take it off.
Yeah, especially if you don't know anything about it.
If you're wearing it right now.
Just take it off.
Take it off. I don't care if you're in the middle of work. I don't care if you're at the Folsom Street Fair.
Take it off.
You're late because there's businesses there now. Yeah. You missed
Go
it.
Go home.
Go home. The fair's
over. It's
a over.
Weeknight.
Sometimes you see people walking around the next day who are still just sort of looking for that party.
Go home.
It's done. See you next year.
If you are acting as the authority or ambassador of a culture that is not your own, but you're claiming that you know it the best.
Stop.
Go home.
Oh, go home.
Go home.
Oh, I'm seeing a theme. Shout out with us. Go home.
Go home, Roger. If you are wearing a costume that is a part of somebody's sacred or daily life.
Go home.
Go home. Take that shit off and go home.
So take it off first before you go home? Because we don't need to see it.
We don't need to see you on your walk home all sad.
It was your fault because you left the house
and
you didn't see what you were wearing.
Exactly.
So take it off and then go home and change.
Take it off, go home. Lastly, if you're putting something on and you feel like, ooh, shit, I hope I don't encounter black people while I'm wearing this.
Stay home.
Oh, no. I hope I... If you put on something... And you are going to be embarrassed around that group of people. Just don't do it.
Stay home.
I'm so sick of people trying to make excuses for this. Mm-hmm. Just stop it. Your life will be the same if you don't get to dress up in somebody else's culture.
True. Yeah. So stay home. So don't even do it at home.
Just don't do it. Mm-hmm. Put on a t-shirt, a nice, clean, crisp t-shirt. Brush your hair, or if you have dreadlocks, oil your scalp, and then enjoy the sun, and leave other people alone.
Leave them alone.
Thank you.
I think this is the last time Aneka ever wants to have to talk about this.
I'm sick of this shit.
The second, third time that we've had this conversation.
And it's like, I can't escape it.
Yeah.
Everywhere I turn, there is somebody upset that they're not allowed to... make fun of her dress a certain way.
No, you just can't do it. You can't. I don't know how else to spell it out. I think you've perfectly spelled it out here.
I have another analogy.
Okay. I thought you said allergy.
No.
I have another allergy.
I have an allergy to cultural appropriation.
You do.
Think about this. If someone saw you walking down the street and was like, oh, I like the way that person is dressed. And then they dress exactly like you, but they do it kind of wrong, and they're walking around being like, I'm that person, you would be pissed. Don't do that to cultures.
Don't do that. It's the golden rule. Treat others the way that you want to be treated.
Thank you.
Put yourself in someone else's shoes.
Try it out.
Try it, yeah. Well, don't try out their... Don't put yourself in someone else's shoes. That's the opposite.
Metaphor. But if y'all are still cultural appropriating, I don't trust you with metaphors.
So don't do that either. Well, thank you, Renekah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate this. I think at this point, if she sees it, she's coming after you.
I'm done.
She's going to snatch that dashiki off of your head.
I wouldn't even wear a dashiki. I would feel like a fraud in a dashiki, and I can hella wear a dashiki.
Sought out outside lands.
Stop it, please. Just please stop.
She's just saying stop or go home. How are you? You okay? It's okay if you're not.
I'm doing all right.
Okay.
I'm doing all right.
All right.
I do want to bring up one extra point.
Oh, okay, yeah, absolutely.
Are you okay
I
with
give
that?
Space for that.
It'd be quick.
Yeah.
So Mark Jacobs.
Culturally appropriating my corner.
I am not. That is your corner.
Thank you.
Fiercely protective of your corner.
I appreciate it, Mama Bear. Mm.
So, I weirdly don't like that term. But, I don't know. But I do like bears.
And you like mamas. Mm. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Okay. Yes.
All right, look into that. There's something yes. there.
I think I don't like the term mama. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
Maybe it's why some people don't like the term moist.
Okay.
Because I call my own mother mom and mommy, which I like.
Okay. What if I call you mommy bear?
For some reason, I like that.
That is your own personal
thing. We're getting into some psychology shit.
This is welcome to Neke's Psychology Corner.
This was not meant to go on this long.
But here it is.
Anyways.
Yes.
Mommy bear here.
Okay. Hey, mommy bear.
Sounds like a gummy bear. Sounds
mommy
delicious.
Mommy bear. Mommy bear's corner.
So... Mark Jacobs, in reply to when people were accusing him of cultural appropriation with the dreadlocks on his models, he goes, but black women have been appropriating Eurocentric styles for years.
You know, Whoopi Goldberg said the same thing once. She said something very similar. Whoopi Goldberg said something very similar.
I'm done with Whoopi. So, she may have a thing with those weed tampons, but... She is wrong about this because, one, black women have to straighten their hair because they're a part of the Eurocentric.
Sometimes you can't get jobs.
Yes, sometimes you get fired. Sometimes a federal law will support you getting fired for having Afrocentric hairstyles.
Right.
So basically what black women have been doing have been destroying their hair and their scalp and their hairlines in order to assimilate into Eurocentric fashion.
Right.
Which is the power. Which yeah. I'm saying is if you have straight hair, you have the power.
Right.
Because that is what is perceived to be beautiful.
And that's what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for touching on that. I'm glad you shared that as well.
Thank you.
Switching up the gears here a little bit.
Cuckoo!
You know, there was so much so the debates happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you watched them or whatnot.
I didn't.
Okay.
I know who I'm voting for.
I absolutely. So I...
But tell me.
Okay. So the debates happened. And first of all, I don't know, is the New Yorker just like The Onion?
What?
Because I read this New Yorker article and like the headline of it was more Americans are expected to self-medicate than for any other debate in history.
Is that true?
And apparently, like, it's, yeah, it was like, there'll be like 100, you know, million people are projected to watch the debate, and roughly 6 million are projected to intake some sort of intoxicant of some sort because they're so stressed out about this, and so...
I believe it. That shit is stressful. That's why I didn't watch it.
And I have a little bit of proof. I was with my two friends.
Yes.
We were decompressing after the Folsom Street Fair, and then we were like, let's go drink wine. And then we just, I think I drank like a bottle and a half of wine during the debate.
Whoa.
So I was like, oh, that is true.
Yeah.
I was yelling at the screen like, stop, shut him up. So if you didn't watch the debate, it was a hot mess. And there's so many different news sources that you can check if you didn't see the debate.
It's so true.
And I understand that. And like also if you're on your Facebook feed, as we know, the algorithm of Facebook continues to send you things that you already know. Or like it sends you more of what you already believe.
What you're leaning towards.
So I always like to, you know, check in on the other side. So I decided
checking in with the anime.
If there's this might surprise some of you. But I'm not a fan of Fox News, or anyone on Fox News.
What?
Yeah. I don't believe they're fair and balanced.
I do have to. You said this in an earlier episode that you did watch Fox when you were
in high
school.
As a kid, I was traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
And shit is awful. So I want to check in and see, like, well, how are they viewing the debate? Because, like, a lot of the news sources are like, okay, Hillary fucking, the woman won, yeah. You know? And she did a great job. And again, for me, like, after the DNC, the election was already done. Like, right. I feel like, and it's just, it's so annoying because these elections go on, it's been like 18 months of campaigning. And do you know in England, you know how long they campaign for?
How long?
5 weeks. They're only allowed 5 weeks.
That is what I need!
Which makes the most sense because a lot of times these are already politicians who should go do your job.
Right!
There's no, if I'm a senator, I can't do my job and campaign for 18 months. Like, right. Something's getting dropped off the line. And aren't, like, you know, don't House of Representative people have to, like, run, like, every 2 years or something?
It's ridiculous. So
how are they ever? They're always having to campaign. So, anyways.
I agree. 5 weeks, we need to mandate that now.
So, some of you probably don't know what other news sources are saying. And maybe you're exhausted by all of this political stuff. And I get it. But I think at the same time, you gotta keep this in your peripheral.
It's true.
We can't just take our tops off and go run to the beach.
You're giving me a hard choice. That sounds
fun. It does sound lovely. But you know what? Before you do that, you need to look at the news a little bit.
All right. A little plain, just pain a little with bit. Pleasure.
Yeah. So, Fox News.
Sleeping with Enemy Corner. That's what I'm titling it.
So, they were outraged at the...
Uh-oh, here we go.
Lester Holt was the moderator.
Yes.
And they were just, like, outraged. They pretty much let Lester Holt push the debate into Hillary Clinton's favor. And they had 6 points where they believe this actually happened.
Here we go.
Mind you, the entire time, I will set this up for you since you weren't there.
Yes.
So, they come out. And for the first 10 minutes, Donald Trump was pretty well composed.
Oh.
He was talking very calmly.
Okay.
And then Hillary Clinton made one comment.
Yes.
That the real Donald Trump came out for the next 85 minutes.
Jesus,
she made a comment that he didn't really earn all of his money.
Yeah, okay.
That he, there's something to the effect that he, you know, had a small loan in the amount of $14 million to start his business and lost, you know, it's pretty much, she called him a bad businessman. She doesn't think that he's really worth the amount of money that he really is worth.
Which are
and
facts.
She did it in a very well-played way. And sometimes, like, for most of the debate, it was a split screen.
Yeah.
Which was to Hillary's benefit because Donald Trump can't hold, he has no poker face.
He looked like a crazy man.
His buttons get pushed. Mm. And Hillary Clinton, like, she's been in this business forever, so she's a debater. She knows how to debate. She can do this. She was holding her own. She was part of sometimes you looked at her, you could see her, and she's like, how the hell is this the man that I'm running against?
It's an insult that she even had to debate this guy.
If this was Bill Clinton, or if this was, you know, anybody else, any other, John Kerry wouldn't have even, it would have been a landslide.
Right.
Like, even Horseface Kerry would have won against... Like, it wouldn't even been a conversation.
Let's flip it. John Kerry and Sarah Palin. That, to me, is the equivalent.
I kind of want to see that.
That is the equivalent of what happened last night.
I really wish.
Gender flipped.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, John Kerry, middle of the road kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of not the best talker, but he's been around in the business for a while. And
a doo-doo dum-dum, Sarah Palin.
That's exactly literally what it is. So then, like, it was off. Like, Donald Trump was off. And he would, like, interrupt her, like, every... Like, it was her time to talk, and he'd just be like, wrong, wrong.
He said wrong?
Wrong, like, several times into the microphone.
Oh,
I didn't say that. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Like, a child.
What a brat-ass doo-doo-dum-dum.
Yes. So for Fox News, they said that Holt reminded viewers that he was liberal. So he, according to them, that he pushed the birther issue.
Oh, my God.
And he harassed Donald Trump about his tax returns.
Harassed?
He had a biased question where he referred to Hillary Clinton as the first woman nominated by a party.
But that's true.
And then they also, like, probed him because he said that she doesn't have the look. They commented on, like, her looks, right?
Who come... What?
Okay. But Donald Trump had, you know... and that they were upset because he only asked Hillary Clinton for about like 50, like for about her emails were only like a small topic. We've already talked about those emails for so long.
I know.
Like, she's been probed and she's been through so many fucking investigations. There's nothing else left to fucking talk about. I'm over it. I'm done. She's tired. She's been through all these investigations. There's nothing else left. Like, if that's like the biggest scandal, You know, and maybe there might be some things with the Clinton Foundation, but the Clinton Foundation's also done a lot of amazing other things, like provide AIDS education to millions of children in Africa or whatnot, too. Look at the fucking Trump Foundation.
Hey, look, she's a politician, and politicians are shady, but you know what? Donald Trump is a doo-doo-dum-dum.
But he's not even, like, a politician. He's not. A corrupt
he's a businessman. He's a terrible businessman. A clown.
So, here are... Oh, and they're upset because they didn't bring up Hillary Clinton's deplorables, her basket of deplorables. Girl was speaking the truth in that moment. So, ain't no lie about that. And that's, this whole entire thing is brought up to the fact that, like, what we realize is that half of America was really upset that there was a black man in the office for 8 years. So, there's 6 points that they're upset about that Holt talked about. Or that he pushed towards Hillary Clinton's favor.
First, roll.
Jobs. They say Holt pressed Trump with just 2 questions on how he was going to add jobs, even though the first answer discussed renegotiating trade deals. Not really. In the first 2 seconds, he mentioned, you know, China and Mexico. We had a drinking game. Every time he said China or Mexico, you drink. But there was never, like, any real concrete ideas of, like, discussions about. It was just a lot of big words and a lot of terror. He talks a lot about the economy. And he wants to paint this picture that America is in this terrible, terrible shape.
Mm-hmm. But it's, come on.
America's actually never been better economically. Mm-hmm. We were in such far shape 8 years ago. And newsflash, folks, we've always been in debt. Mm-hmm. We're never going to actually stop being in debt. It's just the fucked up, you know, economic system that we have. That's not going to go away.
It's not.
Right? Especially through his wanting to cut taxes to... the rich, which Hillary Clinton tried to have this buzzword called Trump up, trickle down, but didn't really catch. But she was trying.
She's trying.
Like what I called Trump up, trickle down. And she tried again. She's like, Trump up, trickle down.
You know, a think tank hella came up with that. Yeah. And they're like, yes, this is good.
And didn't really hit. But
my she tried it.
My
she
drunk
tried
friends
it.
And I were like, yeah, that's going to be a meme.
Trump
and
up, trickle down.
No one. Okay. They were like, put that away.
Oh, well.
Two, taxes. He portrayed the tax plans from the left, Clinton wanting to tax the rich and Trump calling for tax cuts for the wealthy, forcing Trump to correct himself. Yeah, a lot of what the moderator actually did was fact check Donald Trump, which that's something that Matt Lauer didn't do at all.
No.
In the discussion that he had, didn't fact check Donald Trump at all. And a lot of the problems is that the media has been trying to do this fair and balanced thing between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But if you have someone who is just lying and not saying any and just saying a bunch of words, you need to call them out on it.
Hello, paging your local friendly librarian, Aneke, always check your facts, otherwise you're going to look like a dumbass.
Which he did. And he would just rattle off these random things that were just completely not true. The tax returns. This is one of my favorite moments. Trump got hit hard with tax return questions for business conflicts, while Hillary got a slide on emails, her hidden speeches, and Clinton Foundation business conflicts. She called him out on the, like, he got called out, like, the question was about his tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't answer the question. The moderator was like, you didn't answer my question and brought him back to it, right?
Yes.
And... you know, there's one moment where Hillary Clinton had, you know, broken down, like, you know, when you're not paying your taxes, your money's not going to the veterans, or it's not going to schools,
it's not going to
any of this stuff.
There's a reason we have taxes.
And he goes into the mic, that's because I'm smart.
What?
So the fact that he hadn't paid his taxes on certain moments, and that he's not releasing his tax returns, because it's important, it's the first time that no one's ever released their tax returns, and that the last time that he did release his tax returns, it showed that he hadn't paid anything on taxes, because he doesn't think that it's going to the right things. This is part of, like, we all have to pay our taxes. Why do you get to not pay your taxes?
James, how are people still supporting him? When he says things like, I'm not providing to local government, like schools and firefighters.
Because I'm smart. And and he says that he's being audited, but he can still release the current last tax return that he had. You can still release a tax return even though why there's an audit going on. And so Hillary Clinton totally called him out on that. You're hiding something, that we're going to find out that you're not donating any money to these charities, that we're going to find out that you have some really weird business deals and backings, that he's just a lot of corruption. It's just going to prove all of that that's happening.
I can't, I'm having such a hard time believing this is real life.
Number four, the birther issue. So he was there. Number four, Holt asked a birther question that lasted longer than Clinton's email answer. He then added three separate follow-ups to jam up Trump. Yeah, he brought up the birther issue, and he really never owned up to it, or really, he then tried to blame it on Hillary Clinton.
What?
That it was her campaign that had started all but of this whole entire thing.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't. Number five. Iraq. He hammered Trump for supporting the Iraq war, downplaying how Hillary had voted to do the same. He even, like, he was like, well, I talked about on Howard Stern, and the look on Hillary Clinton's face that she's like, really? We're talking
You're
about
bringing
your
Howard up
Howard
Stern
interview? And that, like, it is proven, like, he's trying to backtrack on things that he said. It's proven that he was for the war in Iraq. He was not for it after everybody else, they're already backing out. Mm. He's continuously trying to blame, like, the war in Iraq onto Hillary, onto Barack Obama. He tried to blame Hillary Clinton because she's been in politics for 26 years. Mm. He essentially tried to blame her for everything. And at one point, she's like, I'm just going to be blamed for everything
she
tonight.
She said that?
Yeah. She's like, I guess good. I'm just going to be blamed for everything tonight.
Yes.
I'm
glad that she was able to sass it back.
She had some good moments and stuff. And at some point, they were just like literally arguing back and forth. And it was upsetting because the moderator wouldn't tell Trump. The moderator, to me, failed in really trying to get Trump. Didn't really moderate in certain
Shut
times.
Shut his mic off.
Exactly. I was like, cut his mic off. Like, he was talking over her, and she did a good job of, like, when he was just talking, she just would make little notes, and then she was actually, you know, really debating. But that's what he used to do in all the other debates with all the other, you know, candidates.
Steamroll.
Steamrolled everybody.
This is a fucking joke. This is a mess. This is a big old mess. This is, ugh.
So, then they were like, Hillary's gaffe. When asked about bias policing, Clinton said, I think implicit bias is a problem for everyone, not just police. Holt ignored it rather than challenge the idea that everyone is bigoted. She's saying that everyone has bias, which is absolutely true.
Right.
Why? She's not saying everyone's necessarily a bigot, but that everyone has bias and that we need to work through it. She did on set, like, a few different points bring up that she pretty much called Trump a racist. And she brought up things like systemic racism.
Yes.
To me, Hillary Clinton's hitting all the right buzzwords and all the right points.
Yes.
And, you know, whether or not there'll be vast changes, it's at least in the dialogue and it's at least on the table.
It's not
way
taking us
further
backwards.
Along than he's even willing to recognize. And he would just bring up things like, you know, he thought that stop and frisk was it was found to be unconstitutional, and he was not a fan. He's a fan of stop and frisk.
Fuck that.
He's like, oh, the crime rate went down. It
Someone
was a
needs
good
to stop
thing.
And frisk him.
And just you look at like 90% of blacks and Latinos were the ones who were targeted for this.
Right.
And he talks about like in any city, like inner city, he's like, well, I have property in Chicago or I have property in these like different cities. Any way he was able to relate something was because he had property in it.
Oh my God.
So my thing is that, you know,
one, I have to say, I feel like they're grasping at straws on Fox Network.
I don't understand how you can watch that debate and not know that Hillary Clinton like absolutely won. And I know it's exhausting. She's got her issues. I'm absolutely understanding of that too. But this is the system that we have. And if we're really serious about changing it, then we need to not just do this every 4 years, and let's get out on the grassroots and get some legislation passed or get some local,
yes,
you know, independents into offices.
Yes.
But this is the situation that we are in right now.
Yes.
And we can't, no one can afford to sit this one out.
Nobody
because
can.
Because even your local elections are so important, the measures that are being passed.
Yes, it is so important to look at your local legislation. Don't be fooled by, like, all of this crazy nonsense going down. There is some real legislation that is happening that will affect you. And these presidents will authorize things that will trickle down and affect you.
Absolutely.
So don't, I didn't watch the debate because I'm going to vote.
Right.
I know who I'm voting for. I know what I'm looking at and what I want for my country.
Yeah.
But if you truly are on the fence,
I don't.
You need to do some research.
And you need to be watching these debates.
Watch the debates.
But that's what they say these debates are for. I'm personally confused as to how anybody is on the fence right now. And I thought it was interesting to look at this perspective by Fox News because all of it sounds like whack, crazy ass shit to me. But it's so interesting because I guess the people who are on the other side of things think that what we're saying is whack, crazy shit too. And I guess like that's just like what do you do? It's so terrifying and frustrating. Like, they think that you and I and all of most of our listeners that we're whack, crazy wackadoodles.
I actually listened to a really interesting another podcast called The Hidden Brain.
Yeah.
And it kind of helped me understand it a little bit.
Okay.
So they were able to draw a parallel between conservative and liberal people with the way that they were parented.
Oh.
And apparently if you, and this is just generalizations. Okay. It's not like specific. And there's like combinations of it too. But those who are raised in a house where they have a strong parental figure who lays down like, you need to, provide, you need to, the one patriarchal person that's like, I gotta teach them how to do it, how to survive on your own, how to do it well. That is a, generally is a conservative. Hmm. And if you were raised in a house where people are like, where your parents are kind of more nurturing, care for one another, look out for your brother, like really like, you know, kind of more of a nurturing environment, mm-hmm. you tend to be more liberal.
Interesting.
And when it was put that way, I thought, oh, those types of parenting to me, neither one is wrong or right. And to put it into those contexts helped me understand a little bit how people are across the fences, not understanding each other. But what we need is to notice that Trump isn't conservative. He's a maniac.
It did make me, I remember when I used to think that like Mitt Romney and John McCain were crazy.
I want them back.
Oh man.
Come back, please.
Because at least with them, like, I don't know, there was at least a policy or two that they, for one, would say they had policies like that they were maybe going to do. And there were some that like they weren't, you know, DEFCON 4,
right? It just doesn't feel like a joke. Like, they felt like politicians that were actually, for me, Trump, to me, feels like he's doing it for himself. He's not doing it for the country.
Because he can. He's seeing, like, how far and big he can get and how much power. It's completely an egomaniac. His hands are really tiny, I did notice in the debate.
I want to talk
about his tiny hands. Okay. But, like, and, you know, he complained about, you know, his mic wasn't really working. And, oh, my God, he's the sniffles. You've heard about the sniffles? He was sniffing weird. All throughout it. It was a million times. It was like, what is happening? Why is he sniffling so much? And then there's still two more debates. I'm just like, can we please just go to the polls already?
Right. I'm done with the slog. Nothing's going to change.
I know everybody is exhausted, maybe even exhausted by this corner, but I still think it was important to touch on this, that this is still happening. We still kind of need to keep this in our peripherals.
It's good and that see you brought happening. It up. We need to talk
and,
about this
but
shit.
But here's the thing is, I don't know if I've said this. Have I talked about this? That Donald Trump is... Donald Trump is... If you have... It's not my fault. Donald Trump's not my fault. I don't think he's your fault. I don't have a single person in my friend and my family that is voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah,
I can honestly say that.
I can say that too.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's voting for Trump.
I don't. So there are some of you out there who do. And that this is a long time coming. This is for...
And do as in know somebody who's voting for Trump.
Absolutely. And this is for every time that uncle or that friend, you know, made that joke or said that statement and you didn't check him on this. Because he is literally a monster that has been created over time. Throughout not just these past 8 years, it is slowly been building up, and mm-hmm. it connects to all of the people not understanding the Black Lives Matter movement, or mm-hmm. even like, you know, the things going on with like the tribe, or all the things that we talk about. They're literally the antithesis to everything that we talk about here on this podcast,
right?
And that was created because folks didn't do enough, allies didn't do enough, and so. I put this on you because you have the opportunity to reach out to that uncle, to that aunt, to those people. There was an opportunity and now it's created this monster. So what are you going to do about it?
And I get it. It's scary to have conflict, to challenge people. But there's ways that you can just bring up certain points so you're not sitting idle.
Absolutely.
Because when you sit idle... Shit happens.
I don't have a single person in my life that I can reach out to and say, hey, we need to talk.
That's why we're reaching out to you guys.
So I don't have any of those people. And that guy doesn't have any of those people. So maybe you all do. And it's time to really get out there. But you know what we can do? We can do some phone banking.
Oh.
We can, no, you don't want to do that?
I'm a little busy this weekend.
I'm not saying this weekend. But as it comes down to, I think that, you know, yes, we do all need to do our set up and volunteer, because the worst would be it happens, he gets elected, and we were like, shit, I didn't do enough of what I can. And I know the system is so bullshit and it's so fucked up, but it's our only option right now.
I completely agree with you, James.
It's just where we are.
Just.
It's just 5 more weeks, y'all.
Just.
Pull through.
Is it only 5 more weeks?
6 more weeks. 5 or 6.
Oh, that's right. November.
Yeah. We're almost here. We're almost done. We're almost done. All right. Hold on.
Let's go into 2017.
With hopes high. With a lady president. Yeah.
Hopes high.
We're not. Not like the same hopes that we had for Black-ish. We're going to. I mean, that didn't happen, but here, maybe this one will pull through, and this one matters that much more. So, I know we're exhausted, but y'all, the fight is still happening. You got to get out there and do something.
You got to do something.
In the words of Denzel Washington's wife in, what was it? John that Q? Movie.
Yes, John Q.
There's a big dramatic scene where I think their son's on the doctor's table, and she says to him, "You got to do something." That's you all.
Do it.
Now for something totally sexy. I should have let in with that so you guys would still get to tune in. I should have told you in the last segment.
So people are still here.
Coming up next, something completely different and totally sexy. So, politics is not sexy. No. Donald Trump is not sexy.
Hell no.
Hillary Clinton ain't sexy either. Maybe for somebody.
You know.
Okay, I'm not going to yuck your yum.
There you go.
Folsom Street Fair taught me everybody's got the thing.
Everybody's got the thing.
So you're... Quizlet Corner is all about sexy things, and they're all true or false. So let's jump in.
Oh, my God.
In the Sexy Times Quizlet Corner.
Splish, splash, splish, splash.
All right, here we go. True or false? Having lots and lots of sex can bring you closer to God.
Some religions think so, so I'm going to say yes, true.
True. A study's found. So researchers, don't give me that face.
What face?
I'm going to explain this to you using science.
Okay, good. I like it.
So researchers from Duke University in Northern Carolina, they completed this experiment where they boosted levels of oxytocin in middle-aged men.
Oh.
So oxytocin, no, you're not interested?
No, I'm interested.
Oxytocin is a naturally occurring hormone that's released in the brain during sex, and it's believed to play a part in promoting empathy, trust, social bonding, and altruism.
Oh, nice stuff.
Right. So researchers found that in men, including atheists, who received the increased levels of hormones, reported higher levels of spirituality compared to those who did not receive the boost.
Interesting. I was wondering about atheists. That's why I made that face.
Oh, yeah. They were in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So participants who received the boost also responded more positively to statements like, all life is interconnected.
Ooh.
And that there is a higher plane of consciousness or spirituality that binds all people.
Okay.
And they reported more positive emotions, including awe, gratitude, hope, inspiration, interest, love, and serenity.
Ooh, that connects to the last one where we're saying you need to go out and change some minds.
So go have some sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's very helpful.
And while you're mid-orgasm, be like, who do you love? Do you love me and Hillary Clinton? We're all connected.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly.
And then leave.
Use that dick and vagina for your... Use it. Use it for politics.
Use that dick and vagina for politics. And I can attest to this
because when I was out at one of my sexy dance parties, I'm just feeling, there's like, the, you know, it was just, everybody was just, you know, not wearing a lot of clothing and just hands were just everywhere. And you did feel this like connectedness. And I had this like, we're all connected. We're all part of the stars. And, you know, you just, we are all connected. So everybody just have sex.
And we all are part of the stars.
So get connected with each other by having some sex.
Do it.
So that's how you could have world peace, a world orgy.
I mean, bonobos, the monkeys, they are just like chimpanzees, but chimpanzees live a more militant, angry lifestyle where bonobos thrive through after they get into an argument, they give each other massages.
That's so sweet.
They're very like loving, hippie, communal apes.
So maybe like maybe what we need to do is go to Fox News and just... make them give us massages first.
Yeah, because I don't want to.
And then I'll massage them.
Yes. Because
that feels weird if, like, two black people go over there.
And we're like, massaging them?
You massage me first.
That's a little too.
Megyn Kelly.
There you go.
All right. True or false? True or false? Gay men are more likely to develop... Wait, nope.
Okay.
straight slutty men are more likely to experience prostate cancer.
I mean, I'm going to say that's false because you thought about it.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Am I true or am I false?
It's false. Okay. Straight slutty men are actually not more likely to...
Why not?
Okay, here it is. Straight male sluts are 28% less likely to one day be diagnosed with prostate cancer than their more chaste counterparts. And so we're defining sluts as anyone who's had more than 20 partners, 20 sexual partners in their life. That's what this article is defining sluts as. Here's the thing. I don't find slut a shameful word, so that's why I'm saying it.
Okay, slut but
is,
I do.
I think it's an empowering word. Like, slut is like a person who has sex. To me, like a lot of sex. I don't think that's a bad thing, so I'm not shaming
anybody.
You're
taking
it back. Yeah.
I do like the term straight male sluts.
Yeah, me too. and so those that develop prostate cancer are 19% likely to develop an aggressive form of the disease.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So the reason why is that a new partner over time keeps one active over the years. So the presumption is that men with several partners were exposed to more ejaculations. So the more ejaculations you have, then the least likely it is that you're going to have prostate cancer.
So the more your prostate's working, the less likely you'll get cancer.
So if you are finding yourself like, I've not had more than 20 partners, then like whoever you're fucking, bang them a lot.
Got it. Just
so
work
whoever
it.
You're dating, you know,
what about
guys,
masturbating?
Girls, whatever. Ugh, you're all up in the next quiz question. Ooh. But the thing I do want to say, there's a side note that bottoms, men who receive dicks in their ass.
Oh, you were going classy and then you just...
those who, for whatever reason, have sex with more than 20 male partners double their risk at prostate
what?
Cancer.
I thought your prostate's in your butt.
And risk of getting a non-aggressive cancer with five times... And the risk of getting a non-aggressive cancer was five times more likely. And nobody has any idea as to why.
That sucks.
So, good luck.
Ejaculate.
So I think the cure is like just fucking then bottoms you need to. Oh wait, here's the next thing. Masturbating, true or false? Masturbating five times a week will reduce your risk of prostate cancer.
I'm gonna say true to that.
Because you learn from the other thing.
Yeah, that the more you splooge, the less you get cancer.
And that's exactly it. So it also makes you you harder, which works out the pelvic floor muscle to prevent erectile dysfunction. So the more that you're just getting hard, it's like a muscle.
So work your muscle.
Right? You gotta work your muscle. It also helps you last longer. So that's why some guys will jerk off before they go out on a date. So that way when they have sex, they can go on for a long time.
And also they're not ready to use their dick right away.
That way they just aren't like... It also ups your immunity.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
What about ladies?
And then for number four, it boosts your immunity. Oh, that's weird. They look like the same thing. So bottoms should probably masturbate like... five times as much. But, so like if you're a bottom, you need to like masturbate probably five times a day to... avoid getting that prostate cancer.
Okay, here's a question from old Mother Hubbard.
Yeah, hey, old Mother Hubbard.
What if you are in the throes of intercourse and you just masturbate yourself? Could that help your chances of lowering your chance for prostate cancer?
I think what you want, and that's probably going to happen, actually. Sometimes that might happen.
Did I say it all right?
Yeah, you did good.
I didn't say, okay, good.
So but you still need to masturbate more, or just you need to come a lot more.
Just get off.
You need to. You got to. If you're getting fucked, you need to just. It's like going to the gym. It's like your little ritual.
Wake up, get off, get your cup of coffee, start your day.
Yes. Last one. True or false? You can't smell another person's sex.
Sex is funky, but I'm going to say, I feel like I smell sex on myself.
Okay.
Why is this one stumping me?
I'm getting you.
No, you can't.
That is false, but not for the reason that you just said. Because when I said sex, ooh, it's like a trick question, I meant gender.
Oh, you silly.
Oh, man, almost had. But you got it right, but on accident. So what happened is that when Wen Zhao of the Chinese Academy of Sciences used pheromones. I'm going to pronounce these incorrectly because I'm not a sex scientist. So he used pheromones. Androstadiol. dioene.
Sure.
It's the one that's found in male semen and sweat.
And sweat?
Yeah, it's the same pheromone.
Sure.
And sure. estradiol, which is found in female urine.
Ew.
So they use participants of varying varying sexual urine orientations, and they were asked to watch videos of abstract human figures and identify if they were male or human.
What's an abstract human figure? Is it just like a boob? Is it a butt cheek?
I actually don't.
It like a finger?
I don't
know. Elbow?
And what? Male or human? Male or female? I must have like typed
male
that
or human.
So that's to decide if they're male or female.
You almost said human again.
When exposed to the male androgynous, the one that's found in semen and sweat,
mm-hmm.
Both homosexual men and heterosexual women were more likely to suggest that the figure was a man.
Mm.
Interestingly, the pheromone had no effect on heterosexual men. They were just like, I don't know.
Because they are straight, slutty men.
Right, they're straight, slutty men. So, when exposed to that female estrogenawala, heterosexual men were more likely to perceive the figure as female.
Because they got that turn on.
They got it. Meanwhile, heterosexual women showed no effect to that one.
We don't know.
And lesbian and bisexual women, however, showed a response somewhere in between. Figuring it out.
Yeah. This just sounds like a bunch of confused people. They're just like, oh, that, sure, that one, maybe.
But what I love is that actually is what this is proving is that, like, it's all chemical.
Yes.
That attraction is actually, it is, there's a pheromone, there's a chemical. And so that's for those who, you know, we talked about those ex-gay pastors who are like, I'm an ex-gay. You're not, because it's actually in this chemical that you're actually really attracted to.
Yes, that's secreting out of somebody else's body that you're hella
You want it. You want that sweat. You want that urine.
Lady pee-pee. Here's the funny thing. I was watching The Bachelor.
Uh-huh.
Classic, classy, literary show.
Yes.
And one of the dates that The Bachelor made his ladies go on was a science experiment where they all were blindfolded and he had to smell each of the ladies and then he kicked off the lady he didn't like the smell of.
Oh, see? I think that completely makes sense because it's all...
That makes me sad.
But it's pheromones. It's we are true. Actually like naturally like attracted to certain... There's a lot of chemical things that... do depict our attractions.
It's
so.
Very true. And if you smell, the more close you are in jeans, the less likely you want to sleep with that person. Like, you think that they smell disgusting.
Really?
If you are closely related to them.
Oh.
Preventing from inbred babies.
That's fantastic. Thank you, nature.
Yes.
That's good. Yay.
Thank you.
Good. Yep. So, I smell a lot of you at that Paulson Street Fair. You smelled me too.
But if you thought one of them was nasty, that could have been your cousin.
I was exactly.
You smell nasty.
Thanks.
Am I your cousin?
Thanks, nature.
Why would you listen to a podcast of TV pilots that never got made? It must not have been any good, right?
I don't know for a fact that anyone read it.
They couldn't get the deal done.
It was kind of a regime change.
Someone at the studio who was in a decision-making capacity said, these guys seem like losers.
They just blamed it on, okay, well, it must be women.
We got word that USA had decided to stop doing comedy.
Why aren't we making this? It was so good.
Hear the TV comedies you never got to see on the Dead Pilot Society podcast. Listen on MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Lady peepee, lady peepee, lady peepee, lady peepee.
Man semen and sweat. Man semen and sweat.
Pheromones.
Pheromones.
Pheromones. Pheromones. Pheromones.
We learned a lot. We really
did.
Lived up. Learn, laugh, and play, especially in that sexy time corner.
You educated me well.
I had to, because that politics corner was so not sexy, and I was like, listen, I just got back from the Folsom Street Fair, and we need to sex it up.
Mm-hmm.
I know our listeners are wanting for it. They are wanting them pheromones, and now you know.
You also found out that apples are a fall fruit.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I learned something tasty and sexy.
Yes.
You had to think about that. But which one's the tasty one and which one's the sexy?
Apples
I have
are
an
tasty.
Apple fetish. What?
Oh.
Oh, God. Let's close
this
it out.
This is your season, fall season for James.
Ooh, I am hungry.
For an apple?
I don't know. Let's let the viewers decide. But Nike, on a very somber note, this is our last physical episode together.
Until November.
That's true.
We'll be gone to November. We'll be gone to November.
January, February, March, April, May. He doesn't finish the song. That's Wyclef.
What about June, Wyclef?
He just like, does he not look at a calendar?
He does not give a fuck about June.
About the summer. He's like, the summer is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we'll be at the Chicago Podcasting Festival in Chicago.
If you are in Chicago or Illinois,
you should get a ticket and come and see us.
We're November 18th.
We're performing on that Friday night. I believe at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
At the Steppenwolf Theater.
Yes.
All right.
Watch us. Tell a friend.
Yes. And make sure to, but first, before we talk about it, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss physically.
I'm going to miss you too.
You. The summer went by so fast.
That was 10 weeks?
I feel like I have summertime sadness. Summertime no, it was more than 10 sadness. Weeks. I was here for like, maybe it was just 10 weeks. It was like.
Still, it went by in a blink.
Went by really fast, yeah. So I feel like I got my summertime sadness because it's summer's over and I'm back to New York.
Oh, also, we got a cool shout out on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Thank you for the big shout out. Who was it?
It was Sparrow.
Sparrow.
I'm pulling it up right now, but basically, Sparrow just talked about how wonderful it was to meet you and how nice you are in person.
Oh, see, thanks, Sparrow. Sparrow got double shout-outs, two episodes. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, y'all. You get those shout-outs, too.
Get those shout-outs.
Talk to us. Well, enjoy your life.
Shut up. I'm going to talk to you next week.
I miss you.
We're going to talk over the internet like we always do.
Coast to coast with all the fun technical, logical.
Better than international. We'll be just doing it coast to coast.
Just coast to coast.
You tell me what it's like in New York.
And you tell me how it's like over here in West Coast.
It won't be as exciting as you actually being here, though.
Oh, I'll miss you. But we'll keep holding it down in the minority corner.
Ooh, that was good.
Because they don't want the viewers to think like mommy and daddy are separating.
But we're not.
I know. I don't want them to think. And okay, it's not your fault either, y'all. No. I already had a ticket. I got
to
go.
He has to go. He needs to turn into a superstar where I can live in his cabana.
Mm-hmm. In the words of Whitney Houston, I got to go. My chariot awaits. She said that in the episode of Being Bobby
Brown.
I thought
that was going to be a good ending.
Oh. It is now. I gotta go. My chariot awaits.
I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandi Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
We're Lady to Lady. Do you want a sleepover in your ears?
Is that a friend in your pocket, or are you just podcast to see me?
We're a portable hangout you can bring to the gym, on the subway, or on an oil rig.
Seriously, we have listeners who do that.
Show with us while we get high with Margaret Cho.
Talk showgirls with Katya from Drag Race.
And hear Broadway star Anthony Rapp sing Hamilton.
I am not throwing away my shot. Throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
That's Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.